little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
Okay, so we're going to come on to a brand new area of problems, and we're in a different area of the syllabus, which is care of people who misuse drugs and alcohol. So the first is linked in with prescription medication dependence. Do you want to have a go with the red flag questions related to prescription medication dependence?
I guess some of these are more points that you might look at prior to the patient arriving in your room, depending on the reason for their consultation. Or if it was a phone consult where they're requesting more medication, it's important to look at these things on the record. So one would be to look for any suggestion of history of alcohol or substance misuse, self-harm or personality disorder. And I guess, where possible, a knowledge of the family history around alcohol, drugs and medication is probably useful, although in my position, difficult, but certainly very valuable when I could speak to one of the older, more experienced partners. I guess lost prescriptions and urgent medication requests that come to you while you're on duty are sort of red flags for dependence on prescription medication. The sorts of questions you might ask Gary, and Gary's come in today to request more of his codeine. There's a few red flag questions you might ask Gary. So Gary, thanks for coming down, and I know you did want to discuss your medication with us, and there's a few things I would like to ask before we sort of make a plan together about this codeine prescription. So one of them is, do you drive at all at the minute?
Yeah, I drive, doctor, yeah.
You drive, and do you actually drive any heavy goods vehicle or taxis or drive work machines? Or?
No, I mean, I drive to work, but I don't drive at work. I don't have a licence for a taxi or anything like that. No.
And what is your work?
I just work in a factory.
Okay. Another question I'd usually ask is about sleep and whether or not you've ever noticed any pauses in your breathing during sleep, or if your partner has ever noticed that.
She's never said anything. No, I don't think so.
And have you ever been diagnosed with something called sleep apnea?
No, I snore quite a bit, but I've never been told that I've got sleep apnea, no.
Okay. And just to check a bit more about your mood, I suppose, how's your mood been recently?
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. And have you ever actually had any history of either depression or low mood?
Yeah, I've been anxious at times, I would say, yeah. Never been to hospital with being bad with these things, and I've never taken any medication for it, no.
No, and have you ever self-harmed or thought about suicide?
No.
And do you think you get any side effects from these medications, these codeine?
Oh, they make me chill out, I guess.
Okay, so yeah. Would that be like you're more drowsy?
Yeah, probably. You're probably right about that, yeah.
Okay, ever too drowsy to sort of manage at work?
Some of my colleagues have said that I'm a bit kind of zoned out some of the time. Maybe my concentration can be affected by it, yeah.
Yeah.
I get a bit constipated with them as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, has it caused disciplinary problems at work?
Nah.
It's not that serious.
Nah, I don't think so. No. And I don't think I'm dangerous. I mean, I'm on a production line, but I don't work with any sharp things or heavy tools or anything like that.
Okay. I mean, I'm not sure if any... but he said this, or if you were aware, but codeine is a potentially habit-forming or addictive type of medication. I mean, if that's the case, do you think they're a sensible choice for you, for your painkiller?
Well, I'm open to your recommendations, doctor. I just want something that's good for my pain. I mean, I'm putting up with a lot here.
Yeah, okay. But the potential for them to be addictive, does that worry you?
Well, I've never been addicted to anything before, Doc.
No, okay.
I don't think I'm the sort.
No, okay. And I suppose the other thing is that we know that these medications don't actually have any evidence, or there's no proof that these will be the type of painkillers to help long-term pain.
Oh, all right.
And actually, the harms that people can experience, such as this drowsiness at work, difficulty actually feeling 100% or as good as they want to feel, those harms actually can outweigh the benefits if they're not helping the pain. You know, you actually might not be doing much good through taking them.
Okay. All right. So if I use them, I shouldn't be using them for longer than a week or two then?
Yeah, so we know that the painkillers can be very useful for short term for acute pain and in certain other circumstances longer term. But for yourself, I know you do have quite a lot of pain and that does make, you know, that will impact on how you are day to day. But we know that these medications don't actually help in the long term.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll safety net you, Gary. So, Gary, you mentioned that you do drive, but you don't specifically drive as part of your job. It's really important that you're aware that codeine can impair your ability to drive safely. And if you feel that you're tired or that you can't concentrate when you're driving, then it's illegal for you to drive. So it's really important that you don't drive if you're under the influence of an intoxicating medication, and that includes the codeine that we're prescribing today.
All right, okay, doctor.
So the most common side effects of codeine and medications in this family of painkillers is drowsiness and potentially constipation.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also interfere with your sex life. That being something that would be a concern to you.
I mean, I've not noticed.
No. So do let me know if you decide that you want to go ahead and use this as a painkiller and you notice that's a problem, perhaps that might influence your future use of painkillers. And we did mention before that it doesn't always work and that there's very poor evidence that it's a good painkiller for long-term pain.
Mm-hmm.
So probably it would be sensible that if you're not finding that this is helpful for your pain or if you're getting significant side effects, then it would be sensible for you to give me a telephone call and make a phone appointment to talk about your future options for managing this pain. And if we suspect that you're becoming dependent on this medication, then we'll need to record this in your records. So it's worthwhile being aware that this is a substance of misuse potential. So if we're worried about that, then potentially we might even need to get in touch with the DVLA or social services or potentially even the police or your employer about that.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I actually say all of that every time I give codeine out, but it's quite heavy-handed, isn't it, about police and employer and stuff, but I guess it is true, and I think really, you know, we should be doing this more.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's probably a halfway house go to.
For the routine.
I think that typically you wouldn't go through all the detail that we've gone through in this particular scenario, but unless you were particularly anxious.
Yeah.
But I think that where you're having a pattern of people are saying that they've lost the prescriptions or phoning up at the last minute at the end of the day on Friday for a prescription for something of abuse potential, then if you're getting enough red flags going on with the patient,
mm-hmm.
it might be worthwhile laying in on a bit thicker and going into a bit more detail about the potential consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the moment, it feels like as GPs, we're just signing prescriptions all the time for opiates. And we seem to be at the behest of our opiate users and misusers. And it's hard for us to tell the difference between them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think really, strictly speaking, in a perfect world, we should only be giving short-term prescriptions for painkillers, and there should be a really good reason for using long-term painkillers where we don't really know that they work.
Mm-hmm.
And putting it on the patient's shoulders to say, look, we've told you that these mm-hmm. might not work in the long term for pain, and these are potentially addictive.
Mm-hmm.
And if they appear to be misusing, then they need to know of the potential consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimate sanctions of getting in touch with employers or the DVLA or social services, they could be quite a strong weapon for us to be able to say no to some requests.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.